This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan. Your number, 877-217-5757. The story continues with the travails in Tigertown as LSU continues to regroup from a sexual misconduct scandal. Today's front page of The Advocate, ex-LSU president resigns at Oregon State. Alexander criticized for his handling of allegations of sexual misconduct. With us to talk about it, Kevin Cope, who was the longtime Faculty Senate president. He was in charge of the Faculty Senate in 2015 when that organization put King Alexander, the chancellor and president of LSU, on censure. And he is still technically censured by Louisiana State University's faculty all these years later. It got little or no attention except on this show when he was censured. And he went off to Oregon State, became president there. And now, about a year later, he is out the gate at age 57 and probably radioactive if he seeks another job in higher education. The headline from The Advocate I read, the story from Paul Cobler, less than a week after placing him on probation, Oregon State University leaders on Tuesday accepted former LSU president F. King Alexander's offer of resignation as president of Oregon State amid scrutiny on how he handled allegations of sexual misconduct at LSU. So he's gone. Les Miles is gone at Oregon, or excuse me, at Kansas, his head coach. And at LSU, a couple of people have been reprimanded with rather light suspensions. And some people are saying it's not enough based on the Hush Blackwell report, which I have in my hands, a rather lengthy document about all that happened over the last several years. Kevin Cope is here, and we're joined also by Stephanie Regal of The Business Report, who's covered the King, as in F. King Alexander, since 2013. Let's start with you, Stephanie. Your thoughts about whether King Alexander's dismissal at Oregon State was any big surprise?
Well, certainly it wasn't a big surprise after we saw, excuse me, the outrage Thursday in the wake of that marathon hearing Wednesday, that, you know, where they just decided to discipline him. But especially when you look at like the Oregon State Board, which sort of brings up your point of how there really haven't been any heads rolling at LSU to speak of. You know, there are six women on that board of trustees. There is true diversity. There are people of color. There's Muslim. There's, you know, I mean, and so to watch those trustees deliberate is so very different than sort of the old boys club of the LSU Board of Supervisors. I mean, I was kind of surprised, honestly, that they didn't decide to fire him outright last week when they held their initial hearing on his tenure. Now, whether he, you know, he and I think Bob Mann has made this point in the Chronicle of Higher Education and probably made this point on your show yesterday that, you know, King Alexander alone does not shoulder the blame. I think his performance was a little bit pitiful because he kept trying to push it off on somebody else, and that just looks weak. I mean, if it was that bad, he should have left, you know, instead of sticking around for 7 years. But he alone is not at fault for this, and I hope that his dismissal now from Oregon isn't seen as a sign that, you know, he was the bad apple and now the problem is solved, because it is not. There are many questions that remain to be answered at LSU.
Well, I think there are 14 members of that board, and you say there's six women. The vote was 12-2, so it's almost half, where at LSU we've got Mary Warner, who is a member of the LSU Board of Supervisors, and Valencia Sarpy Jones. She is on the board as well. And is that it?
That is it.
Two women. And under
there have been years when it was worse, by the way. There was, you know, a couple of years ago.
And two out of 18,
there was one
by the way.
Right.
In the Jindal years, they were all white males with the exception of one black female.
Duplessis was chairman 1 year.
She was the only black and the only female during the Jindal years. And I don't think Bobby Jindal had any African-American cabinet secretaries either. So we did not have diversity in the Jindal years. And some are saying that Bobby Jindal deserves a lot of the blame for this, Kevin Cope. He was the governor during King Alexander's tenure, much of it. he was governor when King Alexander was selected. Your thoughts about then and now?
I am always reluctant to give Bobby Jindal credit for anything, and I would say that the only credit he gets for that misdeed is the credit for continuation. That is the habit of appointing, not only, as Stephanie wisely said, persons all of the same demographic, but also persons of the same vocation. I have never seen such an assembly of swindlers and ambulance chasers and unqualified people.
On the board?
Yeah, on the board at LSU.
Now, that's an exaggeration, isn't it?
Personal injury attorneys, of course, they do a virtuous service.
Is there anything wrong with that?
But no, there's nothing wrong with that if you happen to be among the injured, for sure. But I would point out that we are looking at a longstanding habit of appointing a combination of persons who fit the profile and who are also from a subset of the population, which almost always happens to support the governor. And there's the problem. We need some voices from the outside that are capable and not vulnerable and are willing to criticize what goes on in these boards. And there, to make one more point about the Oregon board, yes, it certainly is wondrously different than the board that we see at LSU. And yet, we still see the same level of reluctance and cowardice. This penalty they impose, probation. What is that? Is King Alexander going to wear an ankle bracelet to monitor it?
Well, he's gone now, though. He's out.
Yeah. Well, but he was only gone after a couple of things happened, including this curious expression of outrage from chairman of the board, Robert Denff. There's a case of the pot calling the kettle black.
Well, LSU, yeah. Well, I do like the idea of an ankle bracelet, though. Yeah. That might be
King
something.
King Alexander and Martha Stewart, the great couple.
Well, why was he censured by the faculty?
He was censured by the faculty for a number of reasons. One is a general reluctance to accept counseling from the faculty and fully implement the system of shared governance, as we call it, between faculty and administration. He was censured also because, of course, the Teresa Buchanan decision was one in which, as you just pointed out, a female colleague was given heavy penalties for what many regarded as intermediate level offenses, while others that everybody knew about continued to walk free.
All right. Well, she lost her job. She was a tenured professor, and King Alexander was in charge, so he has to take the responsibility, and he stood by that decision. But at the same time, we had the football coach, Les Miles, who's now out of a job, at Bayou Bash saying, we're going to beat effing Alabama. He was using profanity to a group of kids, kids, impressionable young minds, hearing the F word from the LSU football coach. Stephanie, what the horror.
Well, what you got there, Jim, is a basic lesson. That is, if you're a woman and talk about sex, you're booted out the door. If you are a man and practice sex with violence behind it, or at least the implicit suggestion of violence or force, then you are handsomely paid, you are applauded, and you're idolized by the fans.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting point, and the whole case with that professor and the reason for Alexander's censure. There's a legitimate case to make for that. But, I mean, in his defense, he did have a lot to tackle in his years at LSU. He had to balance myriad constituent groups and special interest groups. If you want to look at parents, faculty, board of supervisors, politicians as special interest groups. And, I mean, he did a good job in many ways. He was unfairly maligned by many people. A lot of what he said last week in that hearing, I mean, I don't think it was the proper place for him to do it, and it made him look wussy, right? I mean, and I think that doesn't play well in any market, right? In Oregon or Louisiana or anywhere else. He should have manned up. But there was a place for him to say those things, and much of what he said was true. He was faulted for trying to diversify LSU. A lot of people hated him. A lot of people did perceive him as a big, bad liberal from the West Coast, you know? And I don't know that he ever really had the political skills to navigate LSU. I mean, it takes a special kind of political, to be able to navigate a culture down here. And I asked him about that once because, I mean, he would get so geeked up about higher ed policy, and that's really where his heart was. And I believe that. His heart was really in the right place in trying to restructure higher ed and make it more equitable and more affordable for people and more diverse. But But, I mean, I did sometimes worry about him, and I asked him one time whether he was, you know, what he really thought of the culture here, and he laughed it off. He said, oh, I grew up in Florida. I know what big SEC schools are like.
And Kentucky.
Clearly he didn't, really.
Mm-hmm. There I would agree that certainly King Alexander had a lot to do in his time, but by the same token, what is the purpose of a college president? A college president is hired specifically, A, to do that, B, to raise money, and C, to set an example. And on all of those scores, King Alexander was not up to the enormous esteem or the enormous salary that he received. This brings us to the point that the real nature of the problem, as I think Stephanie is opining, is the structure of governance in higher education, both in Louisiana and in Oregon, which is kind of the mirror image of Louisiana, mirror north and south.
877-217-5757. We'll take some calls when we return with Stephanie Regal of the Business Report and Kevin Cope. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757. A lot of ground to cover in a couple more segments with Kevin Cope and Stephanie Regal. USA Today had the original big story on this scandal at LSU, and last week they chimed in again, that newspaper, from the 2016-2017 school year through the 2019-2020 year. LSU found 46 students responsible for Title IX offenses. Of those 46, LSU expelled just one. Now, that is in stark contrast to Ohio State, where 28 students were out of 60% of were expelled. Michigan State, 37 responsible and 16 expelled, 43% on and on and on. LSU, the punishment was rather light, and the people who meted out this punishment are still there. And they have not been suspended. Kevin Cope, is this just the beginning of the steamroll through campus and getting people for these actions, or is the posse off the trail now?
Well, the nice thing about you, Jim, is that you live in the world of hope. And so I can say we would hope that the posse would continue to roll. But there are fundamental structural problems at LSU, and indeed in most of higher education, in that the governance system is just too pyramidal, too hierarchical. So it staggers the imagination to believe that the entire tribe of deans and vice chancellors and vice provosts and directors are suddenly going to go into a kind of rebellion against the authority structure and undertake a really thorough investigation. We need some outside investigation, and I would submit the entire LSU administration needs to be put into receivership.
Dan downtown. Dan, you're on with Stephanie and Kevin. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Yeah, is there a common thread here? One, the sex harassment of a football coach when winning is overlooked, but a classroom teacher uses profanity and gets fired. Two, expensive new athletic facilities, but a leaking library. And three, Trump pays off porn stars he slept with, but the red state legislature thinks he was reelected.
All right. Well, Dan had to get into some politics, and that's okay. We live in a political world, and LSU, as Mike Martin, the former president, former chancellor, said, is the most political place on the planet. Stephanie, your thoughts about Dan's observations?
Well, no, I think he's absolutely right. And I don't. And the sad thing is, I don't, like you, live in the world of hope, so I don't really see it changing. And, you know, to your point a few minutes ago, we may see heads roll at LSU, but ultimately the people that enabled this culture, you know, and enabled these misdeeds mm-hmm. isn't going to be dismantled anytime soon. It's a much bigger problem than one or two mid-level administrators.
And another listener notes that if King Alexander had actually fired Les Miles when this
absolutely
episode was revealed, that King Alexander would have given up his job then. He might very well have, Kevin Cope. So he had to choose either to be fired then or now.
Are you suggesting, Jim, that a university president should exhibit courage? You are a shocker of the first magnitude. And there I would point out that one of the justifications for paying university presidents high salaries is that their term in office is short and their situation is precarious. So if somebody's not willing to embrace the danger and move ahead, I question whether once again we at least need to recalibrate the salary basis.
All
for
right.
These executives.
Well, Bill Huey writes, love Kevin Cope, but $600,000 a year is not an enormous salary for a system president and chancellor. My God, writes Bill. Virg Osbury got a 119% raise to $500,000, and he worked for King Alexander. Les Miles was making $7 million, and he was making it more than 10 times the King was.
I agree, certainly, that in comparison to a captain of industry, $600,000, plus, don't forget, the housing allowance, the transportation allowance, the communications allowance, and the club memberships.
He didn't even live in the house, though.
No, well, your point's well taken. That's perhaps not an enormous salary by those standards, but it sure is a whole lot more than, say, a janitor at LSU makes. And when we consider that there are people, say, at Southeastern University, Louisiana University, mm-hmm. or McNeese, who haven't had a single raise in All 8 years, this is obscene.
All right, mm-hmm. and the King and LSU chancellors before him, Mark Emmert, namely, they earned about 4 to 5 times what the governor of Louisiana earns. Leadership is one thing, writes Stafford Wood, Stephanie, but how much of this is because of the motivations of many of the staff and faculty to protect LSU's athletics at all costs?
Well, and I don't even know how much of it's because of the staff and faculty, but because of the board and the political structure, you know, the politicians in the state, the red state legislators that Dan mentioned. I mean, it's an institutional culture here that still protects the men, that protects the athletics. That's what matters here mm-hmm. more than anything, and protects those with money. And, you know, I don't know. And I do think it's unfortunate that somebody like Miriam Segar, and I don't know the ins and outs, and she may have been culpable in some sort of way. I don't know. But this is a woman who was in between a rock and a hard place, a mid-level administrator who was going to be damned if she did, damned if she didn't, much like King would have been if he had fired Les Miles, you mm-hmm. know. 7 years ago.
Stephanie has reported on other matters at LSU, including the John Paul Funes case. Is that one over, or is there still some revelations that need to be unearthed?
Well, I still think there's more there, and I will firmly believe that. I mean, that story was just too connected, right? And there were payments to Rohan Davies' family and to Vidal Alexander's family, and we're to believe that was it? Why would you be paying off Vidal Alexander's family if we weren't talking about a big iceberg? Well, this was just the tip that came out that was above the water that we were able to see.
And Mr. Funes, who is now out of prison, paid his restitution, but he opted not for a trial where some of this would have been discussed.
So we missed out. But I don't think it's over. Will we ever know? I don't know.
All right. Randy and Zachary, please be brief. Randy, you're on. Good morning.
Yes, I'm just going back many, many years, back in the 1930s, where the president of LSU was in prison. So, you know, it was a controversy then, controversy now, so nothing really changes.
Yeah, that was James Monroe Smith. He went to prison, as did the governor of Louisiana, Richard Lesh, and the architect of many of the LSU buildings, Leon Weiss, they all went to prison.
Well, I'm going to give you a teaser. Whenever I retire, whenever that happens, I'm going to write a book about the history of criminality at LSU. I've already got about 35 cases on my research list. So there's more to come on that
topic. Why are you waiting?
Why am I waiting?
Are you waiting the same way King Alexander waited?
Because
you're trying to protect your job, Kevin Cole?
I would rather come in here and debate on the Jim Engster show. That's why I'm not doing it. I could be at my typewriter, but I'm here in your studios.
Yes, you are. Thank you. Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Patrick, you're on.
Hey, should we go ahead and abolish LSU football, just get rid of it? And then why is the tax money for tops and all that, we should probably go ahead and defund that too. I mean, we should quit supporting this sexist university.
Oh, my. Now, come on. That's an exaggeration. And LSU football is not going anywhere. And some have said, look, this goes on everywhere. At LSU right now is just under the microscope, Stephanie. But it doesn't really matter if it's going on everywhere. And we do have records showing that people charged with sexual assault at other campuses got punished. LSU is going to have a hard time passing the buck on this one.
I think they will for sure. And in fact, it was there was a story in the Chronicle for Higher Education that was updated that said that now that King Alexander has, you know, talked about the pressure he was under publicly, the accrediting body that accredits LSU is investigating this and has to look into it. So, I mean, I don't think people are going to forget this anytime soon.
Paul, and there is a serious point in that last caller's comments, and that is that the university has a gigantic equity stake in football. That's a mistake. the people who led the university for the last 60, 70, 100 years made a mistake. So we need some outside help to help us wind down these athletic programs and get them back. I'm not opposed to doing a little sport, but if it's really about building character, why don't we have a sexagenarian professor out there on the field taking a few passes?
All right, we'll go to Paul in Opelousas when we return after the break. Gustavo in Goodwood says, do you have the guts to re-air your interview with Alexander? And if I thought it was relevant, I would. He was on this show more than once, by the way, Gustavo. And like Stephanie, I don't think his tenure here was all bad. I think he did some very good things, and he was in a tough spot in many places. And I think he would acknowledge that he would have acted differently in hindsight than he did at the time, but he made some mistakes, and he has paid the cost probably with not only his job at Oregon State, but his career. So we will talk more with Kevin Cope. One more segment with him and Stephanie Regal, editor of the Business Report, 877-217-5757. Still time to get in. Back after the news. But the speaker. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing, Stephanie Regal of the Business Report, and Kevin Cope, 38 years at LSU as an English professor and more than a decade head of the Faculty Senate. He was there when King Alexander was censured, and yesterday the former president, chancellor of LSU, lost his job, age 57, and he is probably radioactive in higher education, and he spent his career there. So we wish him well, and as I stated, I don't think he's a bad guy. He just made some bad decisions, and at Oregon State, they decided those were sufficient to remove him. At LSU, some of the people who were around during that time have not paid the price with their jobs. Les Miles did at Kansas, and apparently for good reason. But should LSU take more stringent action? If you'd like to comment on that or anything else regarding this, we have some time. But please be brief, and let's go back to the phones. Paul in Opelousas, you're on Talk Louisiana, Paul.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning. Just a analysis. Does this show how strong the athletic foundation is at LSU and not the actual university?
All right. Does the TAF have inordinate power at LSU, Stephanie?
I think they do. And you know, they still, despite Alexander's efforts to break down the silos, which he was tasked with, among other things, they're still pretty much siloed, you know. Yeah. And it's interesting, too, that in the midst of all this, the longtime, you know, TAF director stepping down, retiring, conveniently, right?
Well, I think that's probably a fundraising thing. And Rick Perry is one of those people who's been on campus since his days as an undergraduate in the mid-70s. And I suspect they decided it was time for some new blood. But he's a good guy, too. But that is a huge pressure job, especially with $80 million in the red from last year from the athletic department.
Well, if you're looking for an analysis without any passion or prejudice in it as to what brings down university presidents, it is without exception the failure to get control of these foundations, whether it be the Tiger Athletic Foundation, the Alumni Association, the Research Foundation, or any of the other three or four that are out there. That's what happened to King Alexander. Well, I'll give it to him. He tried to get control of them, but he failed.
And another listener notes, Melinda, that LSU won a Nobel Prize while King Alexander was president and chancellor. That was not mentioned in the Oregon State interrogation, was it?
How many people out there even know about it, right? And, I mean, that's just a significant feather.
Well, that's
in the
certainly more significant than winning a national championship in football.
Yeah, but, and I believe the Nobel Prize was co-won with MIT.
But nonetheless, LSU was rubbing shoulders with MIT.
What, was King Alexander a co-author on any of the studies that led to the award?
He didn't stop it. All right, Gaston in White Oak. Gaston, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Yeah, I wanted to make it a point. It's not just the athletic departments, and a lot of big organizations have these problems. I worked at LSU for about 4 years, a decade ago, and I had a supervisor pull a knife on me several times, and another coworker that sexually harassed me. And the only way I could get any resolution was to go to the police. And then my manager, who's deceased now, he said that's not our standard operating procedure. So I think a lot of times it's people protecting their own jobs.
All right. You reported these to LSU officials, these incidents?
Yes.
And you didn't get any proper
response? No. I had to go to the police.
And
I was working in facility services under Fred Fellner.
Did your job? You know, did you lose your job, Gaston?
No, I didn't lose my job for that. But what I'm saying is when I went through the proper channels, it got ignored because it was too much. Well, the first guy that pulled the knife on me, Richard Moore, he was there for 39 years. But the only way I could get any resolution was
throwing names
to go
around.
To the police.
I'd rather you not do that because these people are not
here.
He's
not there.
Well, but they're not here to defend
themselves. It's documented. It's documented in the police report.
You're saying it's documented, but I don't have the police report in front of me. But if you
speak
in generality, well, anyway, let's just leave it be. But thank you, Gaston. I appreciate your
comments. I'm just saying it happens outside of the athletic department as well.
Okay. Kevin Cope?
Well, yes, indeed, that sort of thing does go on fairly often. And there is, first of all, on the LSU campus, an in-grouping phenomenon. There are cliques, there are power groups, there are insiders and there are outsiders in almost every department and at almost every level, from the most modest groundskeeper all of the way up to the vice chancellors. And you're going to hear in the news pretty soon, there are some lawsuits coming down against the Shreveport campus, LSUS, for exactly the kind of thing that was described there. It hasn't quite happened yet,
well,
but
front page
next
story
couple of
last weeks. Week. Mm-hmm. So are we going to have more revelations? Is this going to be like the Andrew Cuomo thing where people are coming out and saying it happened to me too?
I think there are, and we're aware of some allegations involving professors in other departments. It's not at all limited to strictly the athletic department.
Well, I remember having a professor on this show who said on the air many, many years ago that he enjoyed dating students. Today, that would cost him his job, Kevin, and maybe for good reason.
Well, I know who that is, and probably some of those sentiments are correct. I would only submit here that the purpose of a university is to tell the truth and to set an example. To set an example, you don't have to be perfect. Is it not time for LSU and other Louisiana institutions to admit that there are things that are wrong and that at least a few steps can be taken to rectify them? Virtue is never going to rule the world, but we can make things a little better.
Tim in Thibodeau. Hi, Tim. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Tim.
Would having simply a Tiger Academic Council or foundation be useful in countering the Tiger Athletic Foundation? By the way, I had 9 years at LSU and represented both academics and athletics and did so at Nichols and also in Missouri.
All right. I don't know if another layer of activity is going to help. It might help if people were properly instructed on how to handle their responsibilities.
Yeah, we've got such a foundation, the LSU Foundation and also the LSU Research Foundation. They do their business, but I don't think that they're really equipped to offer what could we call it moral instruction.
I want Stephanie to respond, but as a 38-year English professor, have you ever had any classes, any indoctrination on what not to do?
We are required each year to take a admittedly somewhat ridiculous video course in sexual harassment problems.
Why is that ridiculous?
Well, it's ridiculous, first of all, because it's at an extremely elementary level, and it is also ridiculous because I do not believe there's any moral force behind it. The goal is to meet the metric and to have as many responses to that test as possible so as to satisfy the legislators who are concerned with these sorts of things. There's no sincerity in it.
Well, I mean, there's a lot wrong with higher education systemically today, and maybe the lack of moral clarity on fundamental issues is one of them, but nobody can really probably agree on what fundamental moral issues should be anymore. But, I mean, I think specific to LSU in Louisiana, it's a cultural problem that is bigger than just LSU, you know, and that was what King Alexander was speaking to the other day. It's a culture where politics, I mean, our priorities as a state are messed up. Why would that not be reflected in the priorities of LSU? LSU is sort of the embodiment of what's wrong with Louisiana in general. And the people that run LSU from the supervisory level, you know, they're the ones that set the policy and make a lot of the decisions that impact how the university is run.
David says King Alexander got some grief for shutting down some fraternities. He made a lot of enemies, Kevin Cope.
Well, that's an example of not being able to get control of the foundations. I would compare Greek life and its apparatus to a foundation. Now, here I'm not actually directly blaming King Alexander or anyone else. these foundations and these groups are far too powerful. Universities are public institutions. They should not be run by private clubs.
All right, Tom in Woodland Ridge. Tom, you're on. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Fine.
Morning to your guests. I wonder if your guests and you, like me, have come to realize as these revelations have come to light, just how descriptive Coach Miles' first name really was.
There was an LSU administrator who once said to me that Les Miles is famous for his grammatical errors. In fact, even his name, Les Miles, is an error. It should be fewer miles.
877-217-5757. Paul in Covington. Paul, you're on. Good morning.
Thank you. Two points I'd like to make. Well, one's a point, one's a question. The question is, where is the law in these allegations of rape and assault? How come the university is not responsible for reporting these? And number two, you can't fire the two administrators who they suspended because they know too much.
All right. I don't know about that. But, Stephanie, your thoughts?
No, I mean, I think he raises an excellent point. And I don't know that we've seen the end of this with respect to potential criminal prosecutions. But I definitely think there needs to be some accountability there.
And the current coach coached both of these players who the investigation began with, Drake Davis and Darius Geis. And Coach O has not been in any way sanctioned.
Well, this is a technique at LSU, and again, I stress at most major universities, that is, if you get into this sort of situation, focus all the attention on the one event and the two or three players, and that distracts attention away from the systemic problem.
Tom Galligan, a listener asked, should he stay?
Well, Tom Galligan is an interim president, which in Louisiana is probably the most secure position in the world. However, I would say he should be given the same opportunity as any other candidates, which means other candidates should be given opportunities. We need a real national search, not simply looking at two or three people throwing up our hands and saying the guy in town is the best.
Stephanie Regal, Tom Galligan, he was thought to be the heir apparent. Has anything changed that equation?
From what I hear, some of the people that are really, there's a lot of lobbying behind the scenes. Several names have been thrown around. They're not national names. They're Louisiana names. And I think that you're going to see this board coalesce behind a Louisiana, probably a fairly well-known candidate.
And it might not be Galligan?
I don't think so.
Okay. We're going to spend a few more minutes with Stephanie Regal and Kevin Cope, and then we'll hear from Peter Ranzino, fascinating guy who has the, according to Inc. magazine, the fourth fastest growing company in the United States. We're back after this pause. This is Jim Inkster. We're wrapping it up with Stephanie Regal of the Business Report, Kevin Cope, former faculty senate president at LSU, and then Peter Ranzino, fascinating business person on deck. But let's go to Emily in Mid-City. Emily, you are on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I had a question on, as means of the report, I feel that only the high-profile abusers are being known to the public, whereas names of the victims have been coming out, but there's a lot of LSU administrator and staff who were abusers, and their names are being protective. I want to know what could be the justification in that, and also why hasn't there been more investigations on the fraternities on campus who are known to constantly assault girls? And it's
all right, Stephanie. Thank you, Emily.
Well, I think, you know, that's what Kevin mentioned a minute ago. This is a common tactic, right? We'll focus on the one or two high profile incidents and deflect attention away from the others. So I think it's imperative to keep the pressure on, because if there is continued media pressure, public pressure, this will come out. I mean, there's a Senate hearing later this week, and they have invited former board chairmen and former athletic directors to testify. It's the first time anybody's called former board members on the carpet. Will be interesting to see if they show up and what they say.
Has your boss been called, Roth?
I don't know.
Okay.
I was just going to add that the people need to remember that they could be the victims. This sort of thing can happen to you as an adult student or to your child. It can happen to anybody. And if you keep that thought in mind, maybe you'll be more inclined to keep the pressure up, as Stephanie suggests.
All right. Thank you. And we'll be inviting both of you back soon. Hopefully you will accept the offer. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks.
And now we're joined by...